A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Keeping my mouth shut about things that I've heard.
Shut the f*** up, Sandoval. You haven't heard s***.
You should have walked out the f***ing door.
But that's the thing is that I...
There's no but, Tom. That sentence was over.
Everyone wants to live their real life. I want to live my real life now.
Sometimes it's okay to walk away.
Ready?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. That was a clip from the upcoming 3-part Vanderpump Rules reunion. After the reunion airs, we're getting a brief pause for Vanderpump Rules. They're not filming this summer, which they normally film during the summertime. Instead, it was announced that they're going to be taking a brief hiatus. However, it's not canceled. I think they're just going to start filming in the fall. And I think that's good for a lot of different reasons. First and foremost, this season to me felt so dark and heavy and mucky in a way that even the Scandoval season last year didn't feel, because I think the Scandoval stuff happened so late in the season last year that we really got those like pretty heavy reunion episodes and the maybe one or two at the end of the season. But this whole season just felt so, am I crazy for feeling like this season was darker than last season? Something about the way that the cast is all living in their own hell now that I really came to realize, like it really came sharp into focus this season. I was like, wow, they're all in hell. And none of them want to be there. And I'm not sure how this friendship group moves forward, but I think they're going to take some time and pause during the summertime. And then the other reason why I think this is good is because they launched The Valley this season, which has obviously been very successful. Ratings have been very successful. And one of the things, if you notice, Bravo, when they launch new programs, they usually put them after more successful programs, which is why we had Vanderpump Rules. It made sense to pair The Valley with Vanderpump Rules. The ratings were great. And I think creatively, the audience is really liking The Valley, right? It seems like everybody's enjoying it. And so next season, The Valley will launch when Vanderpump Rules typically launches, because they did also say that The Valley was going to be filming this summer. So the time that Vanderpump Rules, which I believe is like early on in the year, I think Vanderpump usually premieres around January, February, right? So next year, that's when The Valley will premiere, and then they'll have a new launching pad for a new Bravo program. So they can use The Valley to help lead into a new Bravo program. And then a few months later, they'll have a new season of Vanderpump Rules to lead into another new program. So from that programming, does that make sense? Was that too in the weeds? I don't know. But I think it makes sense for a whole lot of different reasons. First and foremost, I think creatively, but then also to launch other new shows. And the Vanderpump Rules isn't going anywhere. The ratings were through the roof this season. But they do need time to just sort of figure out this cast, because I don't understand. And then also with The Valley still coming back at the time Vanderpump Rules normally comes back, I think they could incorporate people like Sheena and Lala or whoever wants to go on over to The Valley at Jax's pop-up bar. And they can go film there during the time when they're not filming Vanderpump Rules. Am I making sense? I don't know. There's a lot going on in the Bravo universe, because we're also going to be talking about The Valley this week. We're going to be breaking down the finale of Vanderpump Rules. And then also The Real House of New Jersey premiered this week. They're back. That's right. Now, I didn't take full notes. We are going to be diving into The Real House of New Jersey as soon as Vanderpump and The Valley starts to wrap up. Then we'll be doing full recaps of New Jersey. But in the meantime, I just have a couple thoughts that I wanted to get out this week on the show. So I love Dolores opening the episode this week, the premiere with Dolores at Rails, which is, of course, Rails is a historical place that we should have as a historical landmark. I don't know if we get the Jersey mayor on the phone, but we need to get him over there and get a certificate from the city or something, because I need Rails to be around forever, because that is a landmark now. That is a landmark. People will visit from across the world to go to Rails. I certainly will. I need a steak from Rails. That's all I can think of is a steak from Rails. Anyway, we got Rails. We open up with all this drama. So it's at the end of the season. We have like a flash forward and Dolores is just sitting there looking so good. Dolores never looked better. Never looked better. I mean, Dolores is stunning always, but seeing her sit down at Rails after everybody left the table and there's like glass everywhere. It's so dramatic. Very excited about that. I don't love a flash forward. I know they like to do that. It's like this dramatic thing, but I don't like when they flash forward and then make us flash back. I just don't like it. It's just not for me. But Dolores does look good, and I'm obsessed with Dolores' tagline, which is just like naming places or something. She's like, I'm from Patterson. I got an Irish boyfriend. I live in New Jersey, and I'm playing Switzerland. She's just like naming places. She's naming places. And I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Melissa and Teresa aren't engaging this season. The producer sits down with Melissa in the confessional, and the producer's like, what do you want to say about Teresa? And she's like, I don't know. I don't really give a flying fuck. And I don't give a flying fuck about their relationship either. I'm tired of the Melissa and Teresa dynamic. And I don't know. I'm tired of it. They need to move on. I'm surprised that they did not move on. I'm shocked even that they kept both Melissa and Teresa this season, because it just felt like we've had enough. And Fuda, I'm excited for Fuda, Feta. They're all getting in the mix. It seems like Danielle and Rachel, there's like some new dynamics, which I'm very excited about. And that's what gets me most hopeful about Jersey, is it seems like that they are moving away from the Teresa and Melissa dynamic. And so we're going to get people stepping up to be messy. Now, what I don't love is the husband stepping up to be messy. I know we got John Fuda was getting in there, and I don't know. I just don't like when the husbands get in the mix. I don't like it. And the Real House of New Jersey seems to lean on the husbands a little too much for my liking. And I would like all the gals out there to know that we don't need the men on these shows. If there's one thing I learned from Miley Cyrus and more recently, Luann De Lesseps, is that we could buy ourselves flowers.
I can buy myself flowers.
Did you guys hear Luann on our social media? She was reading that. Luann from The Realists in New York formerly, and then also that show where she went to a crappy lake with Sonia. She was singing Miley Cyrus on her social media, and come on, you guys.
I can buy myself flowers.
I can buy myself flowers. That is a recording and touring artist. I can't even get the sentence out. She is a recording and a touring artist. She is a recording and a touring artist, and she was on her social media just, I can buy myself flowers.
I can buy myself flowers.
I love that. Like, oh my god, these shows are so fucking insane. And the fact that, like, I love Countess Luann, and again, I've seen her show a million times, but the fact that we support some of these people and some of these talents, and I use the word talents in quotation marks, you guys can't see, but I'm doing the fake sort of quotation marks, but it's funny that we like support all of this. Because it really is crazy. It's really crazy. Did you ever see the movie The Galaxy Quest? It's with like Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver. Anyway, it's like about this like Star Trek show, and accidentally like real aliens get a hold of this show, like the Star Trek like show. And so the real aliens think that like the people that star in this Star Trek like show are representative of the whole world, right? And I was just thinking about like aliens getting the transmission of the Real Housewives and thinking like they're our leaders or something. And it would be so funny for just aliens to come to and like try to capture Luann, or like think Luann is like one of our, I don't know, great. She is in a lot of ways one of our great celebrities. But it's just so funny to me to think of aliens just getting this transmission.
I can buy myself flowers.
Flowers. I can buy myself flowers. Okay. Okay, anyway, those are my thoughts about The Real Housewives of New Jersey. I don't have a lot because, again, I did not take notes. We're trying to take a step back. Danny's trying to work on his mental health and not take on too much this year of 2024. So that's why we're not fully covering Jersey until Valley and Vanderpump wrap up. Okay, let's get into Vanderpump Rules. Now, again, happy that they're taking a break. I felt sad this episode, and I also kind of feel like production hates Ariana. Like, that's my take on it. I just think they don't like her, and it's very clear that they were all getting mad at her for not engaging, but then when you really think about her engaging with that man, of course she doesn't want to engage with him. And for all of her friends and for Sheena to keep going up to her and being like, so I talked to Tom, and this is what I talked to him about. And it's like, in real life, you don't want to hear about your friend talking to your ex. Like, I don't give a flying fuck about you talking to my ex. And she just keeps walking up to him and being like, so I talked to him again, and he helped me with my sound check. It's like, what did he do for the sound check? There was some footage where they just showed him he couldn't make it to like lunch on the trolley or whatever because he was like plugging in something. Like, they showed footage of all the people, all the cast members on that fucking trolley in San Francisco. And Brock, I was happy he did bring up Mrs. Doubtfire. And he brought that up on the trolley, and then they go to lunch, and then they're like, why couldn't Tom make it? And then I think Sheena's like, oh, he's working on my sound. And then they cut to him at the whiskey launch venue, And he's just plugging in something. He was just plugging in a cord, and they were acting like he was doing some big sound check stuff. And I know he brought in that person, but just because you fly someone in for a sound check, like, I don't need to suck your dick for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why Sheena's acting like that. And he's doing it for the show anyway. It's not, is he really doing it for her? I don't know that. I don't know that, but she was acting like he just cured her, I don't know, from some horrific disease that there's no cure for. And it's like, I've always had Sheena's back. I have always had Sheena's back to a fault on this podcast, because a lot of you sit and yell at me in the DMs and you say, how dare you defend Sheena? And I have done that week after week. And then this week, she was just infuriating me. She really was dressed like Sheena 3PO and all that gold. And I did like her song. I did like Apples. I didn't think I would like the Apples. And then she was up on that stage dressed as C-3PO singing Apples. I was singing right along with her, spelling Apples with her. APPLES. I was like, yeah, I like the song now. Just last week or maybe a couple weeks back on the podcast, I was saying, I fucking hate that song, or I'm not interested in listening to it. And then I saw it this week, so I loved it. But other than that, she really was not working for me this episode. I was actually getting really pissed. And I've turned on Brock too, because of that mustache, I believe. I've completely turned on him with that stash. I do not trust or believe anything that he's saying. And something feels off about it. Something feels very uneasy to me about that mustache. And so anyway, they're all in San Francisco. And I also was a little confused about this whiskey launch. Did anyone else feel like, what are we doing with this? Am I crazy? Or did everyone else think it was like going to be a jewelry launch? Did I just miss that? It's like, I thought Kyle Chan was a jeweler. So what's he launching whiskey for? And this would barely make sense to me if he was a main cast member on one of these reality shows, because on reality TV, oftentimes the women will pivot. So one season they might release a skincare, and the next week they're releasing a Pinot Grigio. Cough, Ramona Singer cough. Anyway, that is what happens. You're used to that kind of whiplash from their product lines. So you never know what they're going to come out with. Luann might one day say she's going to come out with a non-alcoholic rosé. Then the next day, she might be coming out with the etiquette book. And then the next day, who the fuck knows? She might be heading on over to Crappy Lake to sell us on that little town. And so we never know what they're going to sell us. And Kyle Chan is not a main customer on the show, so you don't expect there to be so many different pivots as if he was a real housewife.
I can buy myself flowers.
I'm sorry, I'm not. I'll stop playing that, but I can't. I can't. Maybe next week I'll stop playing it, because you know, when I get obsessed with something, I cannot help anything. And so I am obsessed with that Countess Luann clip. I can buy myself flowers. Okay, then the other thing I noticed is that we didn't film at Schwartz and Sandy's at all this season. Imagine how much of a demon you have to be if it's worse for you to film your reality show at your place of business because you're so hated by the audience that, like, the other owner doesn't want you to film there. Because I think that's what happened. That other guy that hates the two Toms, I think he said, no, we're not filming here. So I believe the only footage that we got of Schwartz and Sandy's is just the opening credits, the drone sequence of the two Toms at that restaurant where they got the lobster corn dogs. And so I can't believe that we didn't film there. And it's shocking when you really think about that. It's like that guy got into business with these two Toms thinking, okay, the bar's going to be on TV and it's a show about people at bars. So that's a meal ticket. And then the man realized that the two people that he was in business with are both demons. And one of them fucked the friend of his girlfriend of 9 years that he was living with while his girlfriend was away at her grandmother's funeral, and also losing her dog in the process. The significant other decided to cheat on her with their best friend, or one of them. And so then the co-owner of the Schwartz and Sandy's realized, like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm not going to let you film there anymore. And then it's like, well, what's the point did you even open the bar there next to that pet store? Because I don't know if you know that. Schwartz and Sandy's is, I believe, next to a pet store. So if you need a dog... If you need a cat. How fucking stupid. fucking insane. How fucking insane that it's just like, yeah, we open up the bar next to that PetSmart or whatever the fuck that is. It's like so funny. And then meanwhile, Jax, and we're all acting like these are normal businesses. And then Jax got the pop-up over on the Valley. And I'm learning more and more about that. Jax Studio City, which apparently has good soft pretzels, but it's still, I believe, a pop-up. And on the Valley, they're trying to act like Britney's like, oh yeah, I gotta do all these things for, it's about to open in 17 days and I gotta make it look good. And I was like, I don't think you gotta do anything to that place, because I'm pretty sure it's just a pop-up there with a, I don't know that we're really, is it a real place? I don't even know, like, what's the zoning on that? Because I feel like it's not even an actual place. I feel like they just threw up a handmade sign. They were like, come on in. And then it's supposedly Rocco's Bar, another bar. And then you can come in and get, I don't know, some beer cheese or something. But Britney's acting like she was doing some big redesign of that place. We got 17 days to open this. Jax, we got 17 days and I want another child and we got to open this bar. And I'm like, Brit, I don't know that there's much to open. I think it's already open. I'm pretty sure even before you said there was a grand opening, people could just stroll on in there and get a cocktail. It was just called Rocco's. And then they split the bar in half and said, Jax, you can have this side as a pop-up. And then those other two would just open up a bar next to PetSmart in the middle of nowhere. Because the Schwartz and Sandy's isn't in some big area. I know Lisa Vanderpump's also got all those places on Santa Monica Boulevard. And then Schwartz and Sandy's like, oh, we don't want to open there. Let's go on over to that quiet neighborhood where there's a PetSmart and let's open up there. And then the guy was like, no, we don't even want it on TV. So who's going to Schwartz and Sandy's? You don't even see it on TV. And then it's next to a PetSmart. Like, I imagine you, maybe some people who go in for fish food stop by for a lobster corn dog, or maybe they get some of their... I'm horrible. I'm going to hell. And what's so interesting is I feel like I'm being a little nasty and negative about Schwartz and Sandy's, but the truth is I woke up this morning with endorphins. Don't know where the fuck they came from, but this morning I woke up and I turned to Matt and I was like, I feel like I got endorphins today. For the first time in I don't know how long, I was like, wow, I really feel like I'm living on a, I don't know, helium or something, because I felt like happy as a clam this morning. I don't have any real reason. But anyway, they should probably close Schwartz and Sandy's because they're both demons and no one needs to get a lobster corn dog next to a PetSmart. Imagine what that place smells like in the back kitchen at Schwartz and Sandy's, because you just know they get some of that, like maybe expired dog food or something probably comes out the back. It probably just stinks in there. It stinks. And honestly, I don't think that anyone should be going there, but I probably will at some point. Okay. So I got like 5 pages of notes, you guys. Buckle up, Buttercup. This is finale night, baby. We got lots of notes. Sit tight. I got endorphins and notes. Okay. So we're in San Francisco. Now, seeing Ariana and Dan kiss does make me a little uneasy. It makes me very uneasy, actually, because I'm just not used to seeing that happen. We've seen her with Tom Sandoval for so long that now seeing this other guy come in and kiss her, I'm like, what's happening? It just feels weird about it. I support it, but it feels weird. And they're setting up Dan meeting Sandoval at this big party for the whiskey launch that I thought was a jewelry launch. Although when you think about it, like what kind of jewelry would you be launching? I guess a whiskey launch makes more sense. But I just feel like that launch party should have been a main cast member or something, right? Like, I need to learn more about this Kyle Chan. They need to mic him up a little more or put him in confessional or something, because right now I don't quite know or understand how Kyle Chan is moving throughout the world in this group. And so if we're going to have a finale hosted by Kyle Chan, then please put him in confessional and let me get to know him a little bit. And I want to understand, who is this person? Who is this human being? Because I've only seen him in a reference to some of the other people or sitting down with Tom Sandoval. And so I need to see him or understand him better, only if we're going to keep him as a main part in the show, which I'm not saying they should do. But if next season going forward after that pause, if we're going to be having events, all these events hosted by Kyle Chan, which I believe he's maybe hosted one or two in the past in this show. But still, if we're going to have him keep hosting things, then I'm going to need to get to know who this person is. But you could tell it's what producers wanted. Producers really wanted Dan and Sandoval to be sort of the big finale thing. And they tried. They tried. It did not work. But before we get there, we have Sandoval in the hotel room just FaceTiming Schwartz, who's in the tub. And they're talking about Schwartz's toes, his hooves. And look, people, I talk about Schwartz's. Shoeless Schwartz is barely ever wearing shoes. And they tend to talk about his feet on the show a lot. And so I tend to talk about his feet a lot on this podcast. And I think that because I've talked about his hooves on more than one occasion, I think people think I just hate feet in general. And the truth is, I just think straight men in particular, by and large, have horrific looking feet. So I'm not hating on everybody's feet. I'm not hating on all the hooves in the universe. I'm just saying that most straight men do not take care of their hooves. And so that's where my issue really lies. And so if you're a lady out there, you're married to a straight guy, you need to get him on over to the pedicurist. And you need to just have him clean up those hooves at once in a while. Because I've seen some straight men's feet, and it's like they got talons coming out of those toes. Those aren't nails, those are talons. And you could, they could climb up a wall with those things. I've seen it. I've seen it. You go to the gym. I mean, ladies out there, I know a lot of, mostly people who listen to this podcast are ladies. So you don't know what it's like to go into a Equinox gym bathroom and see straight guys with their hooves out and barefooted. It is shocking. Shocking. And so anyone out there, if you have any influence over the straight man in your life, you get on over to a pedicurist and you have him shave down those talons, because I do not need him climbing up a wall. I mean, even Sandoval said to Schwartz in the FaceTime call, he's like, thought that his feet were hands. He thought their feet were hands. That's right. That's right. He was just expecting Shula Schwartz to just pick something up with those hooves. And he probably could have, because those feet, I just imagine what they've touched and been through. What they've been through. Okay, so then we have a scene with Sheena and Brock and the mustache. Again, I've completely turned on Brock with the mustache. I don't know. He just doesn't do it for me with the mustache. And so now I don't trust or like anything that he's saying. It's true. It's my truth. And anyway, then Sheena is... I get so bamboozled when someone's hot. It's like, really, it's not okay. It's not okay. I get bamboozled by Brock just because he's got those big-ass thighs. Just because he's got those big... When I see those thighs... I get distracted. And so this week he had the thighs. I didn't see not a thigh in sight. Now the whole episode, I don't think saw one lick of Brock's thighs. I mean, he was dancing. I did see footage of him dancing at that whiskey launch that looked crazy. I mean, his dance moves, shocking, shocking. But he doesn't do it for me when I don't see the thighs. And so I've been dickmatized. I've been thymatized by Brock. And so I've seen the light now this week, and I just would like to apologize. But Tom, actually Brock defends Tom. They all go to dinner, or they go to this lunch. Tom couldn't make it because he was plugging in something for Sheena's soundcheck. And so they're at this thing. And Brock says Tom helps Sheena. And he's always talking about how Tom is there for her and like does these things for her. And I don't know. I feel like Tom does a lot of these things for the audience of doing these things. And I just, I don't know. I think like he might invite people to parties and to birthday parties and stuff. Whereas I feel like Ariana has more one-on-one time, meaningful conversations, meaningful time. That's not just like her doing something to make it seem like she's helping and she's a savior. I think Tom has a little bit of that savior complex. So him helping Sheena plug something in at the sound check is like he can kind of be the savior to come save the day for Sheena's performance of Apples. It's just a crazy sentence. These shows are so fucking nuts. That's the other thing, too, that we're just like praising the people singing on these shows for hopping up on stage and spilling apples. And again, I loved it, but it is like crazy. It's crazy. Okay, so then let's see. Every time also a cast member asks Ariana about Tom and she just says, I don't know. Like she's not really giving them anything. And I think that really frustrates, that like drives Lala crazy. It drives, and Sheena too. Every time Sheena goes up to Ariana, it's like, hey, I just want to let you know, like I had another conversation with Tom. And Ariana's just like, okay, like she doesn't, okay. And I think that must drive them crazy. And that's another reason why I think production just hates Ariana. Like, I don't think they like that she's not playing the game, but Ariana's playing the game of her life. And she's just setting some boundaries for her life to not be in a room or have to deal with this person who put her through hell. And yet all the other people are acting like she's nuts for not engaging with him. But it is crazy to think that she should engage with that man, right? Okay, so then we cut to lunch. They are talking about threesomes at this lunch. Schwartz is saying he's never had a threesome. I almost had a threesome like a couple different times, and both times they flopped. I just feel like there's too many dynamics in there. There's too many dynamics in a threesome. I don't know. Maybe it works for some people, but I just always feel like, I know I was always like, this was pre-Matt, just by the way. So I just should point that out. But I was like the third, you know, like it was couples and then, you know, and that doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I'm too, I just want everyone to get along too. So I'm just, so I'm just worried about everybody's emotions. So it's not like I'm having a good time. I'm just thinking, I hope that person's okay. And I hope their relationship's okay. And I'm not concerned about myself. And then, you know, I love my TV. So at the time I was probably also thinking like, hey, I got to get out of here. Like, I don't have much time. I'm looking at my watch. I don't have much time here. Like, I got to get home and watch Glee or whatever fuck I was watching at the time. You know, I got to get home. Can't be here. Got to get home. Desperate Housewives is on. I got to go watch. Got to go tune into my programs. Don't have time for this. I think it's difficult. Now, they do interrogate Dan at the lunch, the new guy, Dan. Apparently, he trains. He's bartends. He's 40, never married. His last relationship was 6 years ago. And Lala's really the one grilling him. And I actually think this is a good friend, despite the fact that I believe Lala is very jealous of the way that everybody's treating Ariana this season. I think it was a good thing. I think in general, you kind of, you know, she was being protected. Whether or not her motives were right, I do think Lala was just trying to, in general, somebody asking those kind of questions to a new significant other, especially after Ariana just went through this whole thing. I actually think Lala was looking out in a good way, in a good way. Now, later on in the episode, we got different thoughts about Lala. However, in this moment, I thought it was a good thing. And Dan says he thinks he wants kids. I'm very curious about Ariana's stance with kids, too, and if it's changed with Dan, because hearing him say that he wants kids, obviously, Ariana never wanted to procreate with Sandoval. And I think that was a smart move. That was a smart move. You never want to do that. You just do not. Ladies, if you're out there, just one thing you probably shouldn't do is procreate with Tom Sandoval. And I know he was in a relationship with some model. And then I was just reading today that they unfollowed each other. So I don't know if it's still happening. But anyway, it's just not a good idea. So if you're out there and you're thinking about it, don't. Okay, then Sheena tells Ariana that she talked to Tom about giving Ariana that mental health apology. And Ariana's like, well, I didn't really want, you know, like she did say that a few weeks ago. She's like, yeah, he's never even apologized for that. And so she did say that, but I don't think Ariana was saying like at this point now she needs that. I think she meant like early on when this all came out, like maybe he could have had some remorse for that. I don't think she meant like, yeah, Sheena, you need to go tell him a couple months later and then tell him to give me that apology. Like at this point, she just wants nothing to do with that man. And so I don't know why Sheena's not getting any of this. Like I feel like crazed. I felt crazed watching this. And again, I tried to give everyone the benefit of the doubt this whole season. And you know, I've defended Shishi, but we finally made it to the end of the season. And like, Sheena, what aren't you getting? Like just, he's not a good person. So I don't think anyone is saying like, you need to completely tear down that man or be horrible to him or whatever. But I just don't know why you need to have continuous conversations with them and try to make him your friend and all that stuff, because he just doesn't seem like a good man. Unless producers are just telling her like, we need you to be friends with that man. Which even later in the episode, you see when the producer came and was like mad at Ariana for not, Ariana was just leaving when Tom tried to go up to her in that scene at the end. I know I'm skipping around, but the producer's like, come on, Ariana, don't do this. And she's like, no, I'm not fucking doing this. I'm going to Applebee's. And the producer was pissed. Jeremiah was pissed and just wanted Ariana and engaged. She's like, I'm not engaged and I'm leaving. And I thought that was a smart thing to do. However, it was frustrating. It must have been for production. Like, you just know they were pissed. But I love seeing behind the scenes of it all, and just to see the producer come up to her and say, come on, Ariana, that it was enough for me. And even seeing that scene where they were all in front of the curtain and Lala was like losing it, and she's like, I'm going to break the fourth wall. Oh, you guys, I got chills. We're going to get there. Let's take a quick break here and we're going to come back. We have so much more to talk about. So sit tight. We'll be right back. And thank you to Acast. I'm sure a lot of you out there are like me. You do the meal kits. Now, the meal kit options are seemingly endless because there's so many different ones. It can be overwhelming to know where to start. You don't know what's different about these. And amidst the chaos, there is one shining star worthy of your affection. I'm talking about Home Chef. Now, Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch you've been dreaming of. So Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, or just speedy recipes that are ready in less than 30 minutes, or even oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, those are my favorites. I mean, I love cooking and I want to do a little bit of cooking, but it's certainly nice when you get all the pre-chopped ingredients. I love that. But also, you might just want a quick microwavable meal, and that is something that you can assemble in just minutes. And Home Chef has you covered and your entire family covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef has over 30 options a week. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too, because Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/iconic. That's homechef.com/iconic for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/iconic. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. And we're back.
Hello!
All right, I have a few other thoughts about that lunch where Brock and Katie started to get into it. And I do believe that Katie and Ariana one day might kill Brock because it just seems like they do hate that man. And when they were sitting at this lunch, Katie says, she's like, look, a guy fucks over your friend, you ditch the guy. Like, that's not nuanced, because they keep arguing that this is a nuanced situation. And the truth is, it's not nuanced. It's nuanced in the way of, like, Sheena wanting to film for this TV show with Tom. But in any other circumstances, it doesn't make any sense for a friend to take the side of this person who did all these horrible things to your friend. Do you get what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any logical sense. Anyway, Katie and Ariana, I don't know if Brock's going to survive another season with them, because the way that they're looking at him, it's not good. It's not good. Anyway, we cut to Brock and Sheena in their room, and he gets strawberries and roses to celebrate her singing the apple. He should have gotten apples. That's what he should have done. I know he got chocolate-covered strawberries and roses. But Brock, he should have just had chocolate-covered apples or some caramel apples or something on the bed. Maybe that would have been, you know, to tie it in with the APPLES. Now, maybe the hotel didn't have that. Maybe, and the concierge, maybe the hotel should have been thinking of this. They should have thought that through. They should have had apples aplenty. If you know Sheena Shea's coming to your hotel, I'm sorry to say, you got to invest in some apples. Get a Granny Smith on the bed. I don't care. Cut it up. Dip it in some chocolate. Do what you got to do. She's performing apples at your hotel, it seems. Was it at the hotel? It was in some banquet room. And I'm just going to need everyone to step it up. There should have been apples abound everywhere. She was dressing in gold. She put on a whole gold lame dress and skirt and the whole thing. And you can't even have an apple out for her when she's singing APPLES. I mean, I was against Sheena early in this podcast episode, but now I'm slowly getting on her side because they didn't have not a fucking apple in sight. You had a whiskey and gold, and they should have had some apples. Get some apples. APPLES. You get them. You get them. Anyway, we do see Sheena, and they're talking about Sandoval. Brock and Sheena are talking about Sandoval. And then they call LVP so that she can get her episode rate. And LVP says there's history with Shishi and Sandy. And LVP's like, oh, do you love him, darling? Sheena, do you love him? And Sheena's like, yeah, I do love him. And it's like, what do you love, Shishi? I'm sorry. I just don't buy that Sheena had some big, huge relationship with Sandoval that she can't. I'm so mad at Sheena. I'm so mad at Sheena this week. Anyway, then Sandoval's room, Schwartz enters. The door wasn't even locked. Schwartz just enters the room. And I had to pause it because there's lots going on in Sandoval's room, his hotel room. There's just like a table with like leather gloves from that sidecar, I believe. There was so much Ghirardelli chocolate. And I love a Ghirardelli chocolate, but there was a lot of Ghirardelli chocolate. Was there not? I mean, those squares were everywhere. You look around that room, I swear there was, in every crevice of that room, there was a little square of Ghirardelli chocolate. And that's the world I want to live in. It was like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory just saw Ghirardelli in every fucking corner. And none of it was blurred either. It was all Ghirardelli chocolate everywhere. And then there was also two Diet Cokes, one regular Coke. Don't support that. Support the Diet Cokes, though. There was also two bowls of French fries, a bread bowl for soup, two burgers, two burger plates, it looked like. There was an espresso machine flashing. A lot going on in that room. I mean, how much were they eating? Who was in that room? And what were they eating so much for? I don't know. It was a lot of food. And then meanwhile, Tom's in he's got a cross earring, an aloe hat, and a glittery sweatshirt. And he says he'll always be there for Ariana if she needs him. And I was like, okay, like I can't even take that in because I'm looking at your outfit. Like, what the fuck are you wearing? What the fuck are you wearing? I mean, I swear, it was like every scene I'm looking at that white or black aloe hat and then some beaded jewelry. And he's there for someone who's got a whole jewelry company. I mean, Kyle Chan's got some like real upscale jewelry. And then I got to look at Tom Sandoval wearing the beaded bracelets. And I like a beaded bracelet myself, but sometimes I look at that man, I'm like, where's he getting all these beads? He needs to step out of Joanne Fabrics and go to Kyle Chan's jewelry store and get some new jewels, because I'm tired of seeing all those beaded bracelets on him. I mean, he must live at Joanne Fabrics at this point, because is he sending someone to Joanne Fabrics to get his beads? Does he order them online? What's going on? I mean, I feel like they probably know him at the Joanne's. I love a Joanne Fabrics too, by the way. I might go there later today. There's one right by my Home Goods, you guys. Nothing but there's like a Marshall's, Joanne Fabrics. You guys, it's my favorite place. You know, Home Goods is my favorite place of all time, but you can get it all done there. Studio City, you know what I'm saying? Get it all done in one shopping trip. They could go right on over to the Marshalls, get some stuff you need there, go to the Home Goods. And I love when they got, you know, the Holy Trinity is my favorite thing. You got the Holy Trinity. You got Kohl's, a TJ Maxx, and a Home Goods. That's my Holy Trinity. They don't have that here in Los Angeles where I'm at. But back in Ohio, you got the Holy Trinity right there in Bainbridge. You can go to the Kohl's, you go to the Marshalls, and you stop on by the Home Goods. You got a whole day. You got your whole day planned. By the way, I did some spots for HomeGoods. If you check out their social media page, the Instagram and the TikTok of HomeGoods, you see me, I got to film some stuff for them and I had the best time. So go like it and comment, or if you like it, so that they let me do more, because it really was the best time, because I truly love that place. I love that place. My favorite place on earth. Okay, what are we talking about? Katie and Lala. Lala says Sheena needs Ariana to recognize that Sheena's got a friendship with Tom. So Lala tells this to Katie, and Katie's like, actually, Sheena and Ariana do not need to talk about this. Why would Ariana want to know about Sheena's relationship with Tom? Like, Katie says Tom didn't make a mistake. He made choices for months and keeps doubling down. And exactly, Katie. Exactly, Miss Maloney. Finally, she's someone saying, like, yes, he made all these choices. It wasn't just like he did one little mistake or something. It wasn't like he got drunk and then fucked Raquel once on accident, right? Like, that would be horrific, right? That would not be okay if he fucked a friend once, but it was when they were drinking, or, I don't know, having a time at Sir or wherever they go. I don't think that would be appropriate. But it would make more sense to forgive someone who did that, screwed up one time. But what Tom was doing with Rachel was so fucked up, and for months and months. And then Schwartz was also in on cahoots with that. And same with Joe, which I'm having trouble with this narrative that Joe is somehow a victim now, when I don't feel like Joe has done anything to grant herself victimhood. In fact, I actually think that she was very villainous in the way she moved around this group. And yet it feels like they're presenting Joe like I'm supposed to feel bad. Okay, so then we cut to Kyle Chan's whiskey launch, which everyone's showing up. We have Hassan. He's the professional audio engineer who Tom says he flew out for this. And Sheena says, well, that's the friend I remember. Genuine. And I was like, Sheena, come on. You're being awful this week. I don't know why she was just really pissing me off this week. Is that terrible? You know, I love my shishi, but this week in particular, I don't know. I was just like, you're really pissing me off. No real reason either. Exactly. I know T was also there, and so was Billy Lee. And then we also never got that physical fight. Do you remember that trailer? They showed a physical fight, but we never even saw a physical fight, or no one throwing a drink or anything. Okay, but then Sheena gets ready for performance, dressed like C-3PO in a kitten heel, a high pony, and a phone bracelet. And then she keeps doing the when she actually does her own sound check, you know, she gets the microphone, she keeps doing these like, hey, she... She says, hey, who's feeling good as gold tonight? Hey. And she was doing something. I don't know how to explain it, but she kept saying hey a lot this episode. I don't know if she was doing a little impression of Canada or something. But she said, hey, 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 who's feeling good as gold tonight? Hey, hey, hey. Meanwhile, Ariana and Dan are all sitting in this VIP. And, VIP was really funny too, because after Sheena's sound check, she went on over to say hi to Ariana and Dan in the VIP area. And, Ariana was saying something like, I have a sty coming in or something on her eye. She's like, oh my God, I have a sty coming in my eye. And then Sheena's like, well, I'm out of breast milk. And Sheena always has to like make it about herself. And that's always the big complaint about Sheena. And never in my life had I noticed it more than when Ariana was trying to tell her in this very small moment. It was a very quick little moment on this week's episode. Ariana's trying to talk about the sty in her eye that's coming in. Now, if anyone's had a sty, it's not fun. It's not pleasant. And it has nothing to do with Scandoval, but Ariana's trying to talk about this health issue she's got. And then rather than Sheena say like, oh yeah, like I hate a sty, or, you know, I understand in a conversation, sometimes you want to recognize that person's feelings and then maybe offer something, experience that you had that's similar. That's how a conversation normally flows. But Sheena didn't seem to recognize that Ariana had said something. So instead, Sheena just like literally did not take that in. She didn't breathe it in. Instead, she's like, I'm out of breath milk. And I thought that was like so representative, shishi. Because it's like she doesn't give a flying fuck about it, what anyone else is doing. She's just worried about herself, and she's got to make everything about herself. And that's what makes her a good reality TV star. But also, this week was infuriating me. You know what else is sort of infuriating me? Is, I'm sorry to say this, James and Allie. You guys, they're talking about marriage, and I just worry. I'm a worrywart when it comes to James. We've seen so many red flags with him, but he also looks like he's grown a lot. And so it makes me feel torn. It makes me feel like nothing's right, I'm torn. That's right. How are we supposed to feel about this? Do we want James to marry Allie? I don't know. I love me some Allie. You know, I got to root for my girl from Ohio. I can't help it. My astrology girly. But I am concerned just with all the red flags. And now he's saying, oh, he's always wanted to be married at this time. And I'm torn. Then we have a scene with Joseph and T-Money. That's right. Joseph and T-Money. She still keeps saying she wants to be with them. It makes me so uncomfortable. And I sort of don't think Joe has any gay friends. I'm worried about that, because I think if she had a gay friend, she wouldn't be hopping on social media every 5 minutes on Instagram Live to say that she still wants to be with Tom. Or I saw a clip somebody posted on Instagram where she was saying their song together. Makes me very uneasy. Very uneasy. And if she has any gays in her life, one of them needs to pull her aside and say, girl, what the fuck are you doing? Because you know a gay in your life, that's what they'll do. That's what we're best at. It's our greatest quality, our greatest trait, is pulling our girlfriends aside and say, girl. And most close girlfriends, you don't even have to say much more than that. You just give them a girl.
Girl?
That's what you got to give them. Girl, what are you doing? Sometimes you might have to give a little extra poking and prodding. You know, I think Joseph might take a little more poking and prodding, but I do believe that one of the gays needs to step up, pull her by the hand, and pull her aside and say, girl, what the fuck are you doing? Girl, what are you doing? Girl. Is no one there to say girl to Joe? We just need someone to be wearing a pair of sunglasses, lower them to the bridge of their nose, look her right in the eye, dead in the eye, and say, girl, what are you doing? That's what we need someone to do. Is no one here? Can we get someone? Can we get Joe? Doesn't she live? She must live right near West Hollywood. I think she's in the Valley. So hop on over to Santa Monica Boulevard, go to the Abbey, and just hope some gay pulls you aside and says, girl, because it seems like nobody's doing that. And I don't know. That's why everybody needs a gay in their life, because this is unacceptable. This is unacceptable, Joe. Joseph and T-Money, too, by the way. Team, everything he does is unacceptable. He needs some gays in his life, too. Just, I don't know, in general. Just do not care for that man. Okay, Allie's also standing there with... This is so funny. So Allie, most of this episode, is standing in, like, very awkward positions. So at this point, she was sitting there right with Joseph and T-Money. And then later in the episode, she was sitting there right when Sandoval went over to talk to Ariana and Tom, and she just does like the Homer Simpson fading into the bushes meme. Like, she just sort of falls back. And it made me love her. It made me love her. Again, we just want the best for Allie. And so I know her and James, it wasn't a big concern this season. Like, the whole season wasn't a whole lot about that. But I worry. And they're living together now. They're moving to a new phase in their lives. And so we just want the best. But you see, that's the angel and devil, because I feel like DJ James Kennedy's evolved in a lot of ways. And I don't see the same DJ James Kennedy always, but I worry that DJ James Kennedy is still there at his core sometimes. And I don't want Allie to be a collateral damage to that. I don't. Okay, so then Lala, let's see. Oh, there's this weird scene where Joseph sort of tries to apologize to Katie. And she's like, sorry if, and Katie's like, sorry if. You know, Katie was like, really, it did make me feel like maybe a tinge bad for Joe, because it's not a fair fight. That's the only reason. I think Joe, the way she moved, and the way she did all that with Katie and Schwartz, I think was so fucked up and villainous, and I do not support that. But it is not a fair fight. And that's another reason why I think Joe maybe isn't equipped for the show, because as an audience, it does feel bad watching. It goes back to the thing I was saying earlier. It feels bad watching Katie in scenes with Joe, because Katie's going to obliterate Joe every single time. Like, Joe has no chance in a scene with Katie, I don't believe. And so then the audience feels bad. Like, this isn't a fair fight. It doesn't make me feel good to watch this kind of fighting, or this kind of, it's like, feels icky. And that's, I think, overall this season, a lot of it has felt icky to me, because I don't know. I don't feel as safe. I don't feel as safe and ground. You know, like, when I'm watching The Valley, I think the reason I'm enjoying it so much this season is because I feel safe. I think they're all kind of monsters. I'm not really worried yet about anyone's mental health, or I'm not worried. You know what I mean? Like, I feel good watching the crazy messiness on there. Anyway, the point is, yeah, Katie definitely could really just obliterate Joe. And she's like, sorry if. And then at one point, Schwartz is like, I just want a peace. And Katie's like, I don't fucking want peace. I don't want peace. And it was like, yeah, Katie's going to fuck you up. And Katie will fuck you. Katie will fuck you up. I do think Katie could fuck somebody up. Just in general, she'll fuck you up. And I know Schwartz sort of likes that. But the truth is, if anyone I even remotely knew tried to fuck Matt after I divorced him, I would never speak to them again. In fact, they would be completely dead to me. So again, I just stick up for Katie that although it's not a fair fight, I just think, put yourselves into her position and her shoes. There's no way you'd talk to this person, Joe, who tried to fuck your ex. I would never even speak. Could you imagine if somebody tried to go after Matt after I divorced him, which we're not even married, but technically we've been together 14 years, so we're common law married. And so I would be pissed. Okay, Schwartz tells, yeah, Katie to ease up. She says, I don't want peace. There's this weird scene of Brock dancing, which I mentioned. Then we have Tom, Lala, Sheena, and Brock, and Kyle all together. And Lala tells Sandoval how good he looks, and then she walks away. And then Sandoval thanks Brock for sticking up to him. And Brock's like, we're not Switzerland. We're friends with both of you guys, and we need to see you step up and be there for friends. And I was like, Brock, you need to cool it. He's getting a little too in the mix for me. I know, maybe I just, because I turned on Brock and Sheena so much this week. He needs to take out the thighs and get out of the mix. Like, that's what we want from Brock. Just take off the pants. I'm sorry. Is that horrible to me to say? Am I going to get canceled for saying that? But take off the pants and that's it. I mean, sometimes with the men on the Bravo, it's like, we just want to see them take off their blouse, run through a scene, and that's it. Like, I don't need to see Kyle on Summer House or Carl or none of them. Get him off of here. Get them off. We could buy ourselves flowers.
I can buy myself flowers.
I can buy myself flowers. Flowers. It's the most off-key I think I've ever heard. Like, that one line is so off-key. Let's just listen to it again. I'm sorry to go back to this, but let's just listen again.
I can buy myself flowers.
Flowers. Imagine doing a sound check with Lou. Like, what sound are we checking for at that point? Because what is she... They probably don't know what sound they're checking for. They're plugging stuff in, but they're not sure what they're checking for, because you know she's just on a microphone being like, I can buy myself flowers. And then the audio people are like, what key is that? No one knows. It's like, no one fucking knows what key that is. It's a key that's not letting you in the door. It doesn't fit in the... just doesn't fit in the hole. Anyway, then Sheena says, I understand what Tom did to Ariana was terrible, but I wish she saw how bad this is for me. And trying to stay loyal to her. I need to let this go. It's enough, Sheena says. And the truth is, it's like Sheena, I think Ariana has like bigger things going on in her life than worrying about like how Tom did this to you. Like, this is what happened to Ariana. It's not what happened to you. And so I don't know why Sheena's not getting that. She's like, I don't know. I don't understand why no one gets how bad this is for me. It's like, what don't you get, Shishi? I love you, but what don't you get? Then we have Schwartz talking to Dan, and they're talking, Ariana says she's going to take him to Applebee's after this, which I don't know if you're on TikTok, but a lot of people are, Chili's is having a moment. Chili's is having a moment. The Chili's restaurant. A lot of people are going to the Chili's these days. I'm noticing on TikTok. It's like a big thing with the Gen Z. The young kids are going to Chili's. And I, back in my day, we used to go to Chili's at the airport. You know, I was flying out of it. It didn't matter what airport was I was in. If I was looking for a Chili's, that's what you go to at an airport. Better than any of the other places is Chili's. And so now I'm looking at the Gen Z. They're all hopping on over to Chili's. I'm like, I need to get on over there, get an appetizer sampler. It's nothing better than an appetizer sampler. And I think Ariana knew that, which is why she said, I'm taking Dan to the Applebee's. She didn't care. San Francisco's got a lot of great food, and we love an independent restaurant. We love a chef. But sometimes you just want a fucking Applebee's. You just want to go to a Cheesecake Factory. You just want a chain restaurant. And I feel that way in particular about a Cheesecake Factory. Not to get us too off track here, but sometimes you just want that big-ass menu. It's a book. I mean, that Cheesecake Factory menu is bigger than my books. I've released two books on my own, as well as I ghost wrote two books. And that Cheesecake menu is bigger than any of those books. It's fucking, they got everything there. You just say you want an egg roll, they got an egg roll. You say you want chicken parmesan, they got a chicken parmesan. Guess what? It's all good, and it's big portions. And they give you that good bread with that other bread that nobody likes. They give you the brown bread that everyone loves, and then they give you that other bread that nobody wants. And it's a great time. It's a great time. So I'm here for a chain restaurant. Nothing better. I used to love an Outback. I used to love a Longhorn. I love an Applebee's. We used to have a place in called Cookers growing up. It was a chain restaurant in Ohio. It's no longer existing. We also had a Max and Irma's. We had an Applebee's. Like, these were the places of my youth. An Olive Garden. We would go get dressed up in high school, and we get dressed up that way to the nines. And to the nines, I mean one of my dad's suits that fit me ill-fittedly and made me look like a 40-something realtor. I'd put that on and head with my friends on over to the Olive Garden, and we would split one meal, get the free salad, and then leave there with those little chocolate mints, and we had a gay old time. Best time of my life. That was what I looked forward to most when it came to homecoming dances or prom dances, because I certainly wasn't having sex with the other gals my age. I was looking forward to the Olive Garden. Get me some unlimited breadsticks. I didn't care about a lady's breadstick. My breadstick certainly wasn't getting buttered that night, but I was going to an Olive Garden and getting buttered breadsticks unlimited style, because I was having a good time at my prom, and that's all I cared about. Did not care about kissing another gal. Not interested. Not when you're closeted back in Ohio in the early aughts. Mm-mm, no, ma'am. A lot of the gays out there know what I'm talking about. You head on over to the Olive Garden, and that's what you look forward to most at prom night. right? All right, we should wrap this up. I feel like I'm going so long. It's because I got the endorphins. Okay, so then Sandoval arrives to have the scene that's set up by production. Ariana's not interested. Sandoval introduces himself to Dan. He's like, oh, yeah, man, I heard you're a great guy. I just want to say what's up, man. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, what's going on? Oh, I heard you're a great guy. Nice to meet you. And Dan's like, okay. Like, Sandoval's lucky that Dan didn't just, like, punch him in the face or something, because why would he want to have any conversation with him? I mean, Dan, he was very patient, just sitting there taking and listening to Tom Sandoval. He's like, oh, yeah, man. Nice to meet you. Welcome to the whiskey. Yeah, welcome to Kyle Chan's whiskey night. I'm doing sound check for Sheena Shea. I just plugged in something. Yeah, man. Ugh. Okay, so then Allie, yeah, this is when Allie's sitting right there. Ariana also says her bestie Logan's at Beyonce. And I would have liked a more of a play-by-play. I know that we had other fish to fry for this finale episode, but I would have liked some thoughts on Logan's time at Beyonce in general for the episode. I think everybody would appreciate it. Like, let's talk about Beyonce for a little bit. Kind of take us out of what's going on, the heaviness of what's going on with Sandoval and Scandoval. And let's just talk about Beyonce, because I don't know about you all, but I'm loving Beyonce's. I know this time this was filmed, the Cowboy Carter album wasn't out yet, but I'm loving the Cowboy Carter album. The duet she does with Miley Cyrus, you guys, Two Most Wanted, fantastic. Fan-fucking-tastic. It's so fucking good. And there's lots of good music. We talked about Taylor Swift, which I'm newly obsessed with. I'm Gonna Get You Back, which is like one of the songs off her new album. You guys, I can't stop listening to it. Guilty as Sin, can't stop listening to it. But Daddy, I Love Him, can't stop listening to it. It's like a sickness. It's a sickness. And I believe there were some bad reviews about the Taylor Swift album when it came out. I think it was just like overwhelming. Like, I think there was just too many songs. But anyway, I'm loving all the music, and I would have liked to hear more of Logan's thoughts about Beyonce's concert, because it would have been fun. But Ariana says in confessional, she says, I'm not here as a cog in the machine of Tom Sandoval's redemption arc, so you can all do that without me. So she's just like, fuck off. And then there is at this party also a random peacock. I just wanted to point out there's a peacock, a peacock. There's a peacock. That's right. Sheena does perform. Her outfit's insane. Kyle introduces her. He's like, please welcome Sheena Marie. So she's going by Sheena Marie now. Did you guys notice that? So is it not Sheena Shea anymore? I thought it was Sheena Shea. I thought she was keeping Shea's last name because of the way it sounded. But he introduced her as Sheena Marie. So what's the truth? We're changing names here left, right, and center. I don't know whose name is who. Because, of course, we had the Rachel Raquel situation. And now I got to know the name, Sheena. Let us know. And she got on stage. She kept doing the A, A, A. And then, and she says in the confession, she's like, Tom stepped up when he didn't have to. And I was like, did he? He just plugged something in. Let's fucking cool it. Then we cut to Ariana after her performance, just congratulating Sheena, which is another thing that Sheena doesn't have to say in that moment. You know, Sandoval flew out his sound guy. And Ariana's like, I don't fucking know who that is, nor do I care that he flew out the sound guy. He cheated on me while I was at my grandmother's funeral with one of my friends in the house that we shared together and we both own while our dog was also dying. So maybe I don't give a flying fuck about him plugging something in for your performance of APPLES. I mean, come on, Shishi. What is she? Is she not getting it? We love Shishi, but she ain't getting it. She just ain't getting it. I wonder if she's going to get it at the reunion. I don't know. The reunion trailer, it looks like they show this episode to them at the reunion. So they didn't see this episode. They're going to watch it back. But I didn't think there was anything that damning. I thought, like, I was sort of excited about the reunion because I thought there was going to be some big reveal or something, but it seems like there's not that big reveal. It's just they're making them watch this final episode together, which that's fun. I'm fascinated by that. It'll be a new dynamic at these reunions. But I'm also pissed about the Valley's not getting a reunion. Did you hear that? Did you hear fucking that? I'm going to call up the law enforcement on that because I'm pissed. The Valley's not getting a reunion. Okay, I'm sorry to go off on this tangent. Let me just do this right now because I got to get this off my chest. They're not doing a reunion. A lot of times on Bravo, they don't do a reunion for a first season show. That's pretty common practice. It's a normal thing. What they do is that they do a Watch What Happens Live reunion. So I don't know if you paid attention to this, but on some of the shows, they'll throw the whole fucking cast in that Watch What Happens Live studio, which we love Watch What Happens Live. We love and support them. No one better. No one better on Bravo. They're doing the Lord's work. However, nobody likes those fucking Watch What Happens Live reunions. We've got to stop with those. They're insufferable. And there's too many people stuffed into that studio. They're awkward. And I just need Bravo to loosen up the purse strings because I do believe that the reason why they do those reunions for the one season or first season shows is because they're cheaper, you guys. I think they don't have to pay the episode rate for the cast members because technically Watch What Happens Live. Do you know what I'm saying? So they don't have to pay an episode rate for their normal show. They just air it on Watch What Happens Live. And then everyone tunes in to Watch What Happens Live. It's good for Watch What Happens Live, but it's not good for the audience. We need full studio reunions. And so if they can't deliver that, I'm going to need to get back to basics. Go to season one Realities of Orange County, where we threw everyone in the backyard. I had a barbecue style and just had them watching clips, because that's what we're going to need. Kristen Doty in someone's backyard watching clips of the season. If that is going to be better than the Watch What Happens Live reunion. I'm sorry, Watch What Happens Live. They're never going to invite me back because they just talk shit about them. We love Watch What Happens Live, but we do not care for those reunions in the Watch What Happens Live set. I'm sorry, we don't. Somebody needs to say it. Somebody needs to say it. So there. Okay, so then we see. They wanted Ariana and Tom to have this conversation, and they don't want to have this conversation. Or Ariana certainly doesn't want to have this conversation. She says she doesn't want an apology. She says she would not be his friend in real life. And I know they act like, they act like this is a smoking gun, that she is leaving the party and she's not having this conversation. But I just feel like it's normal that she should not want to have a conversation with him. And then I also think it's so weird that Sheena and Tom Sandoval have somehow become the centerpiece of the show, which I think we talked about last week. But it's like, how are they all of a sudden like the lead? I don't know, because they're the OGs. Katie Maloney's also an OG, and I would like them to stop disrespecting her in that way. I don't know. But they have some really interesting edit stuff that happens on this show. You know, when Tom's freaking out because he freaks out that Ariana won't have this conversation with him. And Ariana says in her confessional, she says, it's about the audience. He just wants 30 seconds with an audience. And that's why he starts to spin out, because she says she's the final boss in his video game of redemption, and he's pissed he can't get to her. And it's so spot on. That to me was the aha moment, because I've been trying to go through the season again with an open mind. But when she said that, it was like, it all came into clear focus to me of like, oh yeah, that's what he wants more than anything. He wants to this redemption. He knew that Sheena was an easy way to redeem himself. He obviously got Lala on his side as well. And Schwartz was pretty easy to sway, because he was also a demon in the trenches with him in hell last season, conniving. And so that he knew this is all he wanted. That's the, again, Ariana was completely spot on. She's the final boss, and she didn't want to give that to him. And that fucks them all. That makes them so livid. I think not just Tom Sandoval, but I also think probably pisses off production so much, because that's what they want too. That's the final level they want. And she's saying, no, fuck you all. I'm not giving it to you. I'm respecting my boundaries. Oh, you guys. And that gives me chills to just think about it in that way. I don't know. I think I'm curious how everyone's going to side, like, because I think they sort of positioned it as like Ariana is the bad person for leaving this party. But the way I saw it was like, no, I had the aha moment with her, and it made me more than ever on her side in a way. So I don't know. I'm very fascinated. But Tom says that they haven't forgiven him. The people on the show are just acknowledging that he's a person. And then they show all these comments from social media of people saying such horrible things to Tom Sandoval. And then Lala breaks the fourth wall. She says, so Ariana left this whiskey launch. Lala says she's been biting her tongue. She thinks, she says, Ariana thinks she's Beyonce. She says it's bullshit. She can't film with someone who lives, who she lives with. And that is interesting that she lives with him. But it seems like they don't speak or communicate at home. So I don't know. Anyway, she says, don't fuck with Tom Sandoval, but then sleeps down the hall from him. And she says he did not kill somebody. And I get that, yes. But see, that's the other thing that just feels so disingenuous with Lala, is because if this happened to her, she would expect such higher standards than what Ariana is expecting out of them. Do you get what I mean? Because, again, we saw the footage of Lala saying to the whole cast, saying, don't be friends with Randall. Who I just heard Randall also, like, allegedly filmed another movie under a different name. I was, like, reading this big, a new LA Times thing. Anyway, Lala says that Ariana walking out this way is a slap in the face, because what they do on the show. And she says Ariana just got cheated on and then suddenly becomes God. And I think Lala ultimately is just kind of jealous, because she also had a horrible situation happen with Randall, but never got any of the support in the way that Ariana is seemingly getting support from everyone in terms of the audience. And then they show footage, which I got chills, you guys. Chills.
I have the chills.
Chills. They show footage of them all getting mic'd for the very first time. with incredible slow music. It's a montage of their lives. This would have been a good series finale. Again, people are going to probably think that this is a series finale. They're just going on a brief pause. There's no way this show is going away. The ratings are too great. It's like the number one Peacock show, aside from having great regular ratings. So it's not going anywhere. And lest I remind you that there have been countless seasons, most every season of Vanderpump Rules wraps in a way that makes it feel like a series finale. Every single one. Remember when Jax's last season? I mean, they could have ended it there. It dramatically ended with each couple sort of walking out of that bar. And I mean, every single year, it feels like it could be a series finale. And everyone always thinks like, oh, is that the end? And I just have to say, it's not the end and it's not going anywhere. Unfortunately, maybe for some people, it's not going anywhere, but it did feel very much so like a series finale. And it was so good, and the editing was so fantastic. And Lala says you have to be truthful, even when it's extremely uncomfortable. And see, that's the other thing that's so fucked up and why they're all sort of living in their own hell. Because I think ultimately, Ariana is being the most authentic by not doing these things, by not playing by the games of reality TV. So when Lala's in her confessional saying, you have to be truthful even when it's uncomfortable, it's like, yeah, that's what Ariana's doing. No shit, you dummies. That's what she's doing, is being the most truthful out of everyone by not faking a relationship for a reality TV show. Lala says that Tom and Ariana were never honest until he was caught cheating. And I think that maybe they did hide a lot of things in their relationship. So I think Lala could be spot on with that. But she says Ariana was only honest for one moment during the early part of Scandoval, and that's it. And Lala says, fuck that. But again, I just have to say, actually, I think this is her being the most honest out of everyone, because it's not honest for Lala and Sheena to be friends with him in real life. Like, that's not the honest thing. The honest thing is to cut that person off who did you wrong or did your friend wrong. And so it seems like Katie, I don't know. Ariana does go to Applebee's, though. I'm proud of her. I hope she got an appetizer sampler. I hope she got a sampler. That's the other thing, too, with the chain restaurants that they do better than anybody else is a appetizer sampler, because I don't always know what I want. I might want one mozzarella stick and I might want one chicken tender, but I also want to try the spinach and artichoke dip and I need an onion ring. So you give me all those things in a sampler platter and I'm happy as a clam. And so you don't get that when you go to some of these other restaurants, and maybe, I don't know, maybe some of these other restaurants need reform and they need to start doing sampler platters. I love something that says platter. I'm in. If I open up that big ass menu and it says something platter, then I'm sold. It's like, get me that. As soon as the waiter comes to take my drink order, I'm saying, get me the platter. I saw platter on the menu. I don't even care what the fuck's in it. You get me that platter. Okay. So then, yeah, Ariana leaves and Katie says, you have to stick to your boundaries for peace. Ariana says, look, if it's something that matters to you, regardless of the show, then that's like real life. She says, Tom never tried to talk to her off camera. She says he would only do it on camera, which shows that he only cared about the on camera. And then the end. It's the end. We see the San Francisco sunlight or the sunset. Hello! We see the sunset. We see Ariana driving off to the Applebee's to feel good in the neighborhood. And then we see a producer say, there's a subtitle. The producer says, that's the end. And then Schwartz says, that's a plot twist. And this is all over footage of just the skyline. And then Sandoval says, I love it. It's good for me. And then he does this like real scary laugh. You know, it's like real, I don't know, real demon laugh.
Tom, that sentence was over.
And it just proves that he's the villain. He's the villain. And so even if some of you might have been watching that episode, and by the end you were feeling bad for him or something, and then you hear him in his little hot mic moment, his little jinxy moment, and he says, oh, good for me. yeah, man, that's good for me. yeah, man. Shut up. Ugh, I don't know why I feel so strongly this week. Yeah, man, it's good for me. Okay, let's take a break and then we'll come back and talk the valley. I love decorating the house and getting furniture, but sometimes it could be overwhelming to design a space. And so luckily, I'm here to tell you about a company called Cozy. Now, Cozy is fantastic, a North American company that thoughtfully designs furniture made for modern living. Now, Cozy strives to provide the best furniture shopping experience with elegant, super high quality products, plus fast delivery and easy assembly, which is really important to me because I do not like putting together furniture. So the easier, the better for me. Now, Cozy offers beautiful, customizable sofas and sectionals that are made to adapt in time. This means customers can add seats to the sofas over time. Maybe if you're extending your family, you might want more space on the couch. Cozy also offers a great range of coffee tables, washable rugs, wall shelving credenzas, TV stands, and accessories. So much. It's thoughtfully designed furniture made for modern living. There's an outdoor sofa and tables collection that is fantastic. It's called the Mistral. So you can choose the perfect sofa configuration for your outdoor setup. Cozy also opened its first retail space on Queen Street in Toronto to push the experience to the next level and allow customers to engage physically with the products. So transform your living space today with Cozy. Visit cozy.com, spelled C-O-Z-E-Y, to start customizing your furniture today. Again, that's Cozy, C-O-Z-E-Y.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And we're back.
Rotten Hill.
Right, the valley. First of all, I have to say, I sort of love the theme song. I do love the theme song. I don't know when we're seeing all the footage of them in the neighborhood, and I don't know what that theme song is, but I love it, and I hope they never get rid of it, because a lot of times on these Bravo shows, they present us with a theme song, and we get the Bop-a-doo stuck in our head, and then they rip the theme song out from under us. They do it with Married to Medicine, too. They still do a theme song on Married to Medicine, but they change it up every season, and it's got a different beat than it used to. And I miss when we were all there for... Now Paige and Dr. Jackie, Dr. Nicole, Heavenly. I miss that original theme song, the original one on Married to Medicine. And then for them to take out the Summer House theme song, they took out the Southern Charm, Bop-a-doos. And now what theme songs do we have left? We got Vanderpump Rules. So what's next? They're going to take that from us too. And so I will not have them taking the Valley theme song away from us. And while we're here, I just need them to reinstate the Summer House and Southern Charm theme songs because we need them back. And I'm tired of just acting like they never existed because I feel like they're just expecting us to forget that they had theme songs all those years ago. And they did. I remember it. I remember it. I will not forget. I've also just want to point out that I have decided to fully back Britney in her divorce from Jax. And I know that this is a controversial take simply because Britney did make the bed that she got into at night. And so, of course, we watched that. And she should have never married that man. Not from the very beginning. Of course, she moved to be with him. And then she got her bubbies done the way that he wanted, which was so upsetting to watch him have such rules and preferences for her bubbies when he was saying he paid for them. And there were so many dark things that we've seen, not to mention the situation where he cheated with Faith. And so there's a lot of things that maybe Britney should have said in the past where she thought, or maybe should have ran. Maybe should have taken the car and ran. But she didn't. However, I have decided to fully back her. And so it's just my truth. I've just decided you gotta root for the gals. And so we hope Britney realized she could buy herself flowers.
I can buy myself flowers.
Flowers. Go buy some flowers. Get those flowers and get the fuck out of there. Because I'm worried. And Britney's checked out. For the first time this week, I really believe that Jax and Britney are having troubles. Like, they do hate each other. Because just looking at them, looking at each other. And then Sherry, too. She's got a little bit of a fifth sense, too, because I'm noticing Sherry talked to these two this week's episode. She says something to Jax, like, I don't want you two to get in a divorce. And it's like, Sherry knows. She knows that hot pink lip that she's got in the rouge. Her and that hot pink lip with the rouge know what is going on. They are not being bamboozled by Jax. Anyway, they talk about opening up this pop-up bar in 17 days. And so I'm concerned with that. And then also we got this hibachi dinner. We got the hibachi dinner that Janet and Jason are, and we had Janet on the podcast last week. And I told Janet, I was like, we cannot force people out of these shows. You cannot say you will not film with someone because it always will backfire on you. You cannot try to force someone out of the cast. It never will work out for you. So, I mean, I think everyone's going to learn their lesson. They're on a first season of a reality show. And so that And we're going to have to see where that goes. But they are doing like a baby moon where some people are invited. I felt bad for Zach too. I never thought I'd feel bad for that man. And I was sitting here crying over hairs in non-invitation to the baby moon because I was like, oh, all the couples are invited. And they do need to figure out something going forward in this cast. And we got to see Simon. Do you guys see Simon Curtis? He's was on this episode. He popped up. He's a gay man. We saw him with his significant other. And I thought, that's what these show needs, because sometimes they think just throwing one gay person in there is good. But what they really need is like multiple gay people. You can't just throw one gay person in there. You need multiple gay people. And I'm like, let's throw some more gays in there to kind of balance the playing field, because it feels really icky when we have something like these group trips or these scenes where it's like couples, newlywed games, and then we just have this one gay cast member. It just feels really icky. And I think a lot of gay people kind of recognize that feeling of like being around a lot of other straight couples or something like that. And you're like the odd man out. And so that's why these shows need more than one gay person. You can't just have one gay. And I felt bad that he's not invited. And everybody seemed to only be focused on the fact that Kristen and Luke were invited. And I was like, what about the gay with the helmet hair? Like, we need him to get invited to the thing too, because no one seemed to give a shit. And he's sitting there crying. I can't believe I felt bad for Zach. Did anyone else feel bad for that man? I don't know. I did in that moment, at least. I don't know that that'll last, but it's certainly in that moment. I was like, poor man with the hair. Can't even invite him to the Big Bear, wherever the fuck they were going for Janet's baby moon. I don't know. I felt bad. I also did notice that Luke's got a little bit of a body on him. Hello! Did you notice that? Did anyone notice there was was it this week on the show, or there was somewhere I saw him topless? He had a blouse off, and I didn't expect to see what I saw. I thought he was always like a little bit attractive in like a kind of secret way. Does that make sense? Like, I don't think Luke, you look at him and think like, oh yeah, he's hot. But I do think you look at Luke and I don't know. I feel in my gut that he knows how to lay it down. I'm sorry to say that sentence, but it's true. And so I'm a little bit torn on Luke. I'm a little bit torn. Nothing's right, I'm torn. I do feel like he knows how to fuck. And when I saw him with his top off, it was just like, I was looking at the sun. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was just, and maybe that just got, you know, I just was talking on the Vanderpump Rules recap. I get a little dickmatized. So maybe I just got tricked. And, you know, maybe, who knows? There is all this stuff about Jax and texting Kristen. And obviously Jax is behind everything on this show. And so whenever they try to lead us to believe that maybe it's Kristen who did the messiness, or Janet was the messy one, or the truth is it's always going to be Jax who's the messy one. When you really peel back all the layers, yes, Kristen and Janet are being very messy, both of them. And I think they're all a little bit messy, except for Nia and Danny. I don't think they have a messy bone in their body, and they're not equipped for reality television. We need to get them out of there. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Seem like lovely people, lovely human beings. Like, God bless. I think they're going to have a long and healthy and happy marriage. Truly, I think Danny and Nia, are those their names? I think they're going to have a long and healthy existence as a married couple. And particularly if they get off the show, they will. If they stay on the show, they probably won't. They probably won't. And also, I don't think they're equipped for reality television. I don't think they're really interesting enough to see. And I appreciate that they're showing us a little information about Nia's postpartum. Like, I think that is great to see. But other than that, I'm not sure what I'm getting out of those two. And so we might need a recast, I'm sorry to say. Then what else are we talking about here? We have Kristen. This is when it's all revealed that Jax started this rumor, and then Jax told Brittany, and there's a lot of confusion. And then also a lot of confusion about like who Michelle was fucking, or who she had this emotional affair with, because I thought it was a director, but then now people are saying it's an actress celebrity. A lot of people online were guessing Quentin Tarantino, which is interesting to me. Quentin Tarantino. I don't know that I would have guessed that, but that's what people are saying online. But I don't know. They don't know if it's true. No one exactly knows. And then I think what Janet was saying on the podcast was like, she doesn't think Michelle was actually having an affair with that man. She was just trying to get a listing. You know, the realtor's got to get real cutthroat now in the realtor industry, especially here in Southern California, because everyone knows every realtor out here has got a show. They're all on TV. So you're competing with the people on Selling the OC, Selling Sunset, Buying Beverly Hills. You're competing with all these realtors who are wearing fucking crazy outfits and got a television show. And so Michelle's out here. She is trying to scrape by on the skin of her teeth. With gentle hands and the heart of a fighter, I'm a survivor. Because imagine being a realtor in Los Angeles and you're not on television. So you're competing with the likes of Kayla from Selling the OC. And suddenly it's harder and harder to sell a house. And so I don't envy any of the realtors here, because you got to do what you got to do. So if you got to suck Quentin Tarantino's dick to get a listing, I'm sorry, I might be on her side with that. I would actually draw the line. Okay, I'm glad I decided that. Moving on, we got Hibachi Night. Jax is wearing leggings. Did anyone notice that? Leggings. Zach was also in a hat, which I appreciated. But Jax was, I mean, they were essentially leggings. He said they were really tight, and the people aren't wearing the tight jeans no more. And so to see him wearing those things, whoo, which I just have to say, in general, I think we all learn this as we get older and older, but it's like, the straight guys always tend to steal the styles of the gay men. And then when the gay men are wearing it, they always get made fun of. Because I remember when skinny jeans were first in style, everyone was like making fun of it. And it was like, oh, that's so gay. And then like people used to use that in such a derogatory term. It was like, oh, it's so gay. And then the straight guys were not wearing the skinny jeans. And then slowly some straight guys started wearing the skinny jeans. And then it became like, oh, you're so metrosexual. That became a big word back in the early aughts. It's like, oh, you're metrosexual. And now cut to 20 years later, all these fucking straight guys, Jax is on television wearing leggings essentially. And I'm thinking in my head, I bet you 20 years ago he was making fun of some man on wearing a skinny jean. So it all comes back around. And same with that other one over there on Vanderpump Rules wearing all the beaded bracelets. Makes me piss. Okay, where are we at here? Hibachi night. I do love hibachi. I love everything about a hibachi. I know we were just talking about chain restaurants, but I have to say I love hibachi. I love the chicken flip in the mouth. I love the fire, the drama. I love everything about hibachi. There's so much fun. Obviously, there's a lot of hibachi lore that's really funny. You got a good conversation starter just by bringing up Tori Spelli's hibachi accident. Remember she got burned, fallen on hibachi, or whatever the fuck that was? You know, there's lots of things about a hibachi that are great. Great time. Go there for a big group dinner. Nothing better than when the guy at the hibachi or the gal at the hibachi, they say, you got to flip something, and they flip a shrimp in someone's mouth. I don't even like seafood, but I'll open my mouth for that. I mean, I will... Ladies, am I right? Open your mouth for that. If they need to flip something in someone's mouth, and my mouth is wide. I'm on my knees and my mouth is wide. Wait, I didn't get on my knees for that. But the point is, I'm ready to go at a hibachi restaurant. I love it. Flip it right in my mouth. Chicken flip it in my mouth. And then there's the fire. There's the drama of like whether or not we're going to fall into the fire. And then, I mean, it's a great time. It's a great time. Then Janet says she wants to get a knuckle in Jason's ass. That's right. I just have to point out that she did say that on camera. Then we have Brittany's got to leave because she's got stomach pain on account that she shouldn't be taking shots. And the doctor did tell her on camera years ago that she should not be taking shots. However, she continues to do it. So she does have a stomach pain from the sake. And she says that hibachi's making me nauseous. And I was thinking, like, is it the hibachi or is it the drinking? I don't know. Jack says she's sick from the drinking. And he's like, I told you. And I was like, shut up, Jax. I got so many, even though I like totally agreed with everything that he was saying, I was like, shut up and get out of here. She doesn't need this. Like I was suddenly defending Brittany, even though I've watched her again, talk to a doctor on camera who said she shouldn't be taking shots. And then she continued to do it anyway. And is still doing it years and years later. She is still taking these shots. And so look, is Jax right? Certainly. But as soon as he said, I told you, I said, get the fuck out, Jax. Get the fuck out and rot in hell.
Rot in hell.
I can buy myself flowers.
Brittany can buy herself flowers. And she'll take that drink and she'll do as much fucking sake as she wants. Do not tell that woman not to do sake. And they all agree that Brittany would never leave game night. I mean, they were really... She had to leave game night before it started. And they were all acting like Brittany invented a game night. Or she was... I've never... seen so many people try to convince me that Brittany from Vanderpump Rules or The Valley likes a game night. I mean, every single cast member was like, Brittany would never leave. She loves a game night. She would never voluntarily leave a game night. You mean Brittany left game night? I can't believe of all people to leave game night, it would not be Brittany. Like they were all laying it on so thick to convince us that Brittany likes a game night. I was like, okay, so Brittany likes to play fucking Cranium. Like, let's move on. I don't need to hear every cast member that's ever been on this show talk about how Brittany loves a fucking game night. It's like, Brittany loves apples to apples. She will not leave if Scattergories comes out. I cannot believe that Brittany left. And it was like, wow, okay, I get it. She likes it. Okay, so then Jared comes out, friend Jared comes out as Sparkle, and I love Jared, and he is dressed as Sparkle. They're playing a newlywed game called Drag Your Heart Out. It's revealed, Jax has to play with Zach, and I like that, actually. I was really into that for some reason, but it was revealed that Brittany and Jax fucked in Times Square. Certainly after some Watch What Happens Live appearance, Jax said it was early in the relationship, and I do believe they probably went there for Watch What Happens Live. And then either before or after having a cocktail with Andy Cohen in the clubhouse, they were like, let's go fucking Times Square. And I'm not sure that if anyone saw it, I hope no one saw it, because I would imagine it's not good for the eyes. It might not be good for the eyes. You might need to have those special, I don't know, like those special eclipse glasses on, I would imagine. If you see Jackson, Britney fucking in Central Park or Times Square, wherever they were in public, you need to have those. That's why you should always have them on the ready, you know, in your purse or something on your person. You should always have those eclipse glasses, because you never know when you're going to run into those two honking and horning in the middle of Times Square, you know, filling up the gas flap over there in Times Square. It's not something you need to see with your bare eyes. So you need to put the eclipse glasses on and make sure you walk in where you're walking. You keep an eye out, because you just don't know where you're going to see it. You just don't know. Here, I'm worried about Los Angeles. Now I got to worry when I go to New York City. I got to worry about running into Jackson Britney, filling up the gas tank, filling up that gas flap. Okay, so what else is going on? Britney leaves. We do the newlywed games. It really, Jesse and Michelle especially hate each other. Hate each other. And they needed Kristen and Luke here, because it was a little boring. I'm sorry, the hibachi scene was a little bit boring. And if they would have had Kristen and Luke there, they could have maybe had Luke take off his top. They could have had Kristen get messy. I don't know. Ultimately, the scene just ended with Jesse being dragged around on a leash by Michelle. And I don't know if he won or lost the game night. I was like, does that mean he won or he lost? I don't know. I missed it. But then we have the James May relaunch for Kristen's vintage word art t-shirt line. And so that's happening. And we support it. We support all the shirts. I don't have any of their t-shirts, but it must be good if they've been around for that long, right? Which, by the way, you can get t-shirts from everythingiconic.store. If you want one of the everythingiconic.store t-shirts, we have them available at everythingiconic.store. Okay, so then, Zach sits and talks to Kristen. He's sort of running this whole joint. He's getting this whole thing ready, and he is running around like a chicken with his head cut off, and I felt bad for him in this moment. I mean, he is just running this whole thing. The clothes are falling off the cliff. I don't know where they were doing this James May relaunch, but the clothes are falling off the thing, and Zach is going through it. He is going through it, and he's pissed that Janet, he says, is getting a pass because she's pregnant. And that's interesting to me. And obviously that sets up, because we know Zach and Janet have a big feud coming up, because she said that on the Everything Iconic podcast last week. It's obviously clear those two are going to have some big fight. And I'm curious how it's going to play out, because I don't actually know how it plays out. Curious to see. Then Jesse and Michelle. Oh, Jesse says he's going to a spiritual retreat. He's going to be doing some ayahuasca. And I wish they got that on camera, because he's going there to do ayahuasca, and I'm always fascinated by ayahuasca. And when he's getting ready to go, Michelle says, I hope you can change a little bit. And Jesse's like, change what? And she's like, change your fucking personality. You know, she's like, change it. I'm tired of it. She says, change your personality. And then we do have a scene with Brittany and Jasmine going to the self-defense workshop. Brittany is, I'm worried about her finances and divorce, because does she own the bar? I mean, I guess Jax doesn't. Does anyone own the bar? Like, who owns this bar? And then Michelle and Janet are not going to Kristen's James May relaunch thing. I don't know. There was a scene also where Brittany was like choking Kristen in the self-defense. And then as she was choking Kristen, she was like, yuck, yuck. She was doing like a yuck, yuck. And it was like she just watched an episode of Friends. Like, while she was strangling Kristen, she was having the best time. The best time. Okay, so then what else? We still have Zach getting all that stuff together for the James May event. And Kristen's just laying on the concrete. I think she was maybe crying. Did anyone feel like Kristen was crying as they were getting ready for this event? And meanwhile, Zach is just like harried. He's like sweating like a whore in church. He's got no shorts on. The network put him to work. I mean, he was living, that man. I mean, I hope they gave him a fan and a cold glass of water, because he was sweating. And the valley gets hot. The valley gets hot. Simon also showed up again in this scene, and I just have to say, they keep labeling Simon, and I'm like, I think we need to keep our eye on Simon, because I feel like he's going to be getting in the mix more, because it just feel like they keep focusing on him coming into these scenes. And then we do have Brittany and Jax. Brittany snaps at Jax when he's on Instagram not listening to him or not listening to her, and he's like, I got three other businesses. And she's like, well, do you have three other businesses? Well, I do too. And she does too. And look, they're not going to, I think they will actually get divorced. I finally really believe it to be true. And I think they will get divorced. Anyway, Brittany says James May isn't for big boobed women. And then Brittany and Zach talk. And this is where Brittany tells Zach that he wasn't invited. But Brittany says it in such a mean fucking way, because she's like, oh yeah, Kristen's not invited to the baby moon situation. And meanwhile, it's like, Zach's not invited either. And then she just says that in front of him. And Jax is sweaty too at this event. It must have been really hot because I saw him in the corner and he was just sweating. I remember a couple weeks ago we saw him sweating. He's got like brown stains from, was it self-tanner or something under his pits? I know, he's a very sweaty person, and I can't even talk shit about that because I'm a sweaty person too. But they were going through it at this event, and that's why you shouldn't have outdoor events in the valley in the middle of summertime. You get it indoors with some air conditioning. I need an AC. You have that event hosted at the Cheesecake Factory, and I'm in. I'll show up. Anyway, Jax gathers everyone to say that Janet and Jason are planning this baby moon and that some of them are not invited, and this is where his friend Zach cries. And it's just so fucking mean. Why would Jax do that? Why would he gather everyone and be like, hey, we're going to talk about the people who aren't invited? I mean, what an asshole. And then Zach says, not inviting me on a baby moon feels like it's singling me out. And then Kristen calls Janet an asshole, and we get it to be continued. That's the end of the episode. I don't know. I'm excited to see I'm loving the valley. I am loving the valley. Okay. Thank you. This was a long episode. Thank you all so much for listening. We will be back next week. I also have some fun interviews coming that I'll try to throw into the podcast feed as they come. But we will continue with our one podcast a week. And thank you all so much for listening. Find me on social media @Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I love you all. And we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.